the New York Yankees are officially heading to San Diego. We're going to recap a very wild American League wildcard series against the Cleveland Indians and more on this latest edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and boy, you know, when you head into the playoffs, and it doesn't matter what year it is, you're always worried that the next series is going to be your last. And for the Yankees, of course, they were struggling heading into the postseason, so there was doubt as to whether or not they were going to be able to overcome their first-round battle with a very good Cleveland Indians team, but they prevailed. The Yankees win the series in two games. For those of you who stayed up and watched the end of Game 2, what a game, what a night. We have a lot to break down in regards to both Game 1 and Game 2. You know, it wasn't necessarily pretty, but the Yankees got the job done, and they will head to San Diego as they will take on their rival, division rival, Tampa Bay Rays, in a five-game set at the neutral site. Lot to talk about, a lot to be excited about. But before we do this, you know, we got to give our promotional plug, obviously. Find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account, Nick_Delahanty. Find us by searching up our show on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast is powered by Delahanty Media. We are available on all different social media sites, including Instagram. Searches up Delahanty Media. And also, go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com. You can find everything and anything you need to know about our show and more. Go to our store, buy some gear, support the brand, rep some merch. You know the deal by now. Go and do that. You can get a limited time discount of 20% off if you use the promo code PT. That is P as in pinstripe, T as in talk. Take advantage of that opportunity. And of course, our show is available on all podcasting platforms. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We're also available on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it. The show is there available for you. Check it out, share it with your friends, and let's talk some more Yankees baseball. So let's jump right into this series, shall we? You know, I don't want to waste any time. Game 1, the marquee pitching matchup of the American League Wild Card Series. You had Gerrit Cole making his first postseason start for the Yankees. He was opposed by Shane Bieber, the American League Triple Crown winner for pitchers. Undoubtedly, the American League Cy Young Award winner for 2020. Bieber has been electric all year. So going into this matchup, you have to feel confident having Gerrit Cole on the mound. And you know that if you can muster a couple of runs for him, you have a good chance to win the ballgame, especially against a good arm like Bieber. However, Bieber has been dominant all year, so you do have those concerns. And the way the Yankees' offense has been a little inconsistent, you have to have your doubts as to how this game was going to turn out. However, the Yankees did not leave much doubt in this one. Four pitches in, the Yankees found themselves up 2-0. DJ LeMahieu led off with a single, followed by an Aaron Judge home run. That home run marked Judge's ninth through his first 28 career postseason games. You know what other Yankees can match that? Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig. Pretty solid group to be included with, if you ask me. Now, the Yankees were definitely not done. They chased Bieber in the fifth inning of this ballgame. Bieber ended up getting charged with seven, yes, seven earned runs in this one. Here's how the Yankees scored. You had the Judge homer in the first. In the top of the third, you got a Luke Voit double, put him up 3-0. The Indians followed back with a run of their own to make it 3-1 in the bottom half. But then in the top of the fourth, the Yankees kept pushing it on. A Gardner double to left, scoring Torres. Then an infield single from DJ LeMahieu scored one. Yankees found themselves up 5-1. A Naylor home run. We're going to talk about Naylor a little bit more in this show because what Naylor's been doing is incredible as well. They're up 5-2 going into the top of the fifth. And then a two-run homer from Gleyber Torres. And that was all the Yankees would get from Bieber, but it was plenty in the ballgame. They were not done, though. They end up putting up four more runs in the seventh inning. An Urshela sac fly, a Torres single, and a Gardner home run puts them up 11-2. And then a Giancarlo blast in the ninth puts them up 12-2. That lead would stick Cecil into a run in the bottom half of the ninth. But that's your ball game. Yankees go on to win game one, 12-3 in a very shocking blowout victory. And, you know, you look at the score and you look at the way the Yankees offense prevailed, you have to be impressed because obviously most people thought that this would be a low-scoring game. Anytime you say Bieber and Cole, you're thinking very close game, very low scoring, not a lot of offense. But the Yankees scored 12 runs on 15 hits to pick up a huge game one victory. Before we get more into the offense, let's look at Gerrit Cole in his first ever postseason appearance for the Yankees. He was dominant. 7 innings, allowed 2 runs, struck out 13 batters. Very impressive from the Yankees ace. And, you know, you have to just be really happy in regards to how Cole looked and having that confidence that the Yankees actually do have an ace. You know, anytime you could give a guy like Gerrit Cole the ball, you have to be happy and confident in regards to your chances in that ball game. So for Cole, his 13 strikeouts, he becomes the second pitcher in Major League Baseball history with multiple 13K performances in the postseason. The other, Bob Gibson, pretty nice company to join if you're Gerrit Cole. And for him, you just have to be really ecstatic for him because when he did his post conference, he mentioned his family was at the game. It was the first time that his 3-month-old child was able to see him pitch. Obviously, he's not remembering this, but in the long term, that's a very special moment for Cole, making his first postseason start for the team he grew up idolizing, and then not only being able to make that start, but having his family there as well. So a great night for Cole and the Cole family. Cessa came in, like I mentioned, through 2 innings, allowed just 1 run. It was really good to have the bullpen safe because going into game 2, you know, you thought that those big guys in the bullpen were going to be needed, and sure as heck, they were definitely needed in this one. Let's go through some of the main contributors in this game. LeMahieu, 2 hits out of the leadoff spot. Although he didn't get a hit in this ball game, Hicks still scored 2 runs, walked twice in the ball game. Another 2 hits from Luke Voit. But the story of the game has to be from these two guys. Number 1, Gleyber Torres, 4-for-4, 3 runs scored, 3 RBIs. He also walked in the ball game, reached base a total of 5 times. Gleyber actually became the first Yankee shortstop to tally those numbers in a postseason game in the history. And, you know, the Yankees have had some pretty good shortstops that haven't been able to accomplish the feat. So you got to be really happy with the way he looked at the plate. Is this a sign to come that we are going to see the Gleyber we all know and love? We'll have to wait and see, but you have to be happy with his performance. He also is the second youngest player in Major League Baseball history to reach base 5 or more times in a postseason game. The other one was Carlos Correa, who probably cheated to do it back in 2015. He also becomes the first Yankee in postseason play since Ichiro in 2012 to tally 4 hits. And at 23 years, 291 days old, he was the second youngest Yankee with 4-plus hits in a postseason game. You have to go back to Derek Jeter back in 1996 in game 1 of the ALCS against the Orioles. So a very, I mean very good performance from Gleyber Torres. One more stat on Gleyber. I have a lot of them. I'm loving this. But he became the first Yankee to reach base in each of his first 5 plate appearances with at least 3 runs scored and 3 RBIs in a postseason game since Babe Ruth in game 4 of the World Series back on October 6th, 1926. That's pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. That's a really, really impressive number. So enough about Gleyber. He was obviously one of the stars of the game. The other comes from Brett Gardner. And there was a lot of question as to whether or not Gardner would get the start. The options were him or Clint Frazier. And Clint Frazier's really been struggling. So Boone decided to go with Gardner for defensive purposes. Hopefully he gets something offensively. And Gardner really proved everybody wrong. I apologize to Gardner on Twitter. Personally, twice, because, you know, he proved me wrong. I wanted to see Clint Frazier, but Boone made the right call there. I give him props on that one. He was 3-for-5. 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs, and the Yankees' bottom half of the lineup did a really nice job. If you look from Stanton down in the lineup, Stanton hit a home run. Urshela had a hit of his own. The 4 hits from Gleyber, the 3 hits from Gardner, a lot of their damage did, in fact, come from the bottom half of the order. Yankees, in general, looked good in this ball game. They put guys on base. They were 3-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Obviously, you'd want to be a little better in that category. They only left 6 guys on base, which, if in retrospect, isn't necessarily terrible, that considering there's been games where they've left 10 or more on base. So, you know, great first win. I think the main things that you could take from this are, number one, you didn't use the main bullpen, guys, because if you're going into a three-game series, you're thinking that Aaron Boone doesn't like to use these guys back-to-back-to-back days. How would the Yankees' bullpen shape out? Cole going deep into this game, Sessa coming in and controlling the Indians' offense for the final two, that's a huge boost for them. And then you beat up on the American League Cy Young Award winner. Like, that is impressive to me. That is really, truly impressive. They laid off a lot of enticing pitches out of the zone. They were patient. They were smart with their approach. And it showed and it paid off. I don't know if Matt Blake gave him a little bit of a heads up before the game or whatnot in the scouting report, but the Yankees had a really good plan for Bieber, and they executed it very well. They did strike out 10 times in this ballgame, but heck, when you score 12 runs, you can live with it. The main contributor for the Indians in this one, Josh Naylor, 4-for-4, 2 runs scored. He had a home run off of Cole in the 4th inning. That was really all the Indians got in this game. Out of their 8 hits, Naylor had half of them. So we're going to talk more about Naylor. Like I said, he's a big piece of what went down in Game 2. But sit down, buckle up, and get ready to digest this, because Game 2 was definitely a roller coaster. Now, you might call me crazy, but after winning Game 1, I deemed Game 2 as a must-win game, and here's why. Number one, you have Masahiro Tanaka on the mound. Tanaka has been really good in his postseason career with the Yankees. That's number one. Number two, past Tanaka and Cole, the Yankee starting pitching has been suspect all year. Going into a Game 3 with Jay Happ on the mound isn't necessarily a shoo-in victory. And also, you know, this Yankees team was hot in Game 1. I was hoping to see it continue in Game 2. And the beginning of the game was definitely a mess. First of all, bad job by Major League Baseball. They delayed the start of the game due to impending weather or upcoming weather. Then it didn't rain until they started the game. They start the game, and it starts to monsoon. So both starting pitchers go out on the mound. They start their work. Tanaka's in a monsoon on the mound, and you could tell that it made an impact. So you had two rain delays that really hampered the time that it took to play this ball game. So once we got back into the action, the Yankees were already down 1-0, and it was a 4-spot in the first inning for the Indians. Just like the Yankees had the first punch in Game 1, the Indians followed back in Game 2 with a first inning punch of their own. A Ramirez double, a Naylor double. The Yankees couldn't get this guy out. And then a Roberto Perez single put him up 4-0. And at that point, you're saying to yourself, oh boy, Yankees are in trouble. Tanaka does not have it. How long can he go in this game? Can the Yankees offense bounce back? Giancarlo Stanton gives an answer of his own in the top of the second. He hits a solo home run. And at that point, you're saying, Stanton just homered in back-to-back at bats dating back to Game 1. Is this guy starting to get locked in? That would be really nice to have, especially given that his big contract, they could definitely use the production we know he's capable of producing. So the Yankees would be down 4-1 going into the 4th inning. Come the 4th, they load the bases. They actually force the Indian starter, Carlos Carrasco, out of the ballgame. And insert Gio Urshela. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hits a grand slam to give the Yankees a 5-4 lead. He's the first Yankee ever to hit a postseason grand slam with the team trailing. Gotta love the bat flip. Gotta love the fire from the Yankees dugout after it. It was one of those moments that you just felt gave the Yankees all the momentum. And let's not forget, the Yankees got this dude for $25,000. Don't let that fact get away from you. Thank you, Toronto. Thank you, Cleveland, for letting him go. Now, staying on this track of Gio, and we're going to talk about him a lot in game two because he was definitely the star of the game. The Yankees, in their history, have the following guys hit postseason go-ahead grand slams. Gil McDougall did it in the 1951 World Series in Game 5. Tino Martinez, I remember it to this day, World Series Game 1 against the Padres, and Gio Urshela. It's their 13th postseason grand slam overall, and their first since Didi did it last year in the ALDS against the Twins. And now you have the pitcher from the Indians, Karnachak. The guy looks like Wild Thing. They even portray him out to be Wild Thing. Comes out to the music and everything. He allowed one home run in his career prior to the Gio Urshela home run. But that ball was absolutely crushed 432 feet. And Urshela is also the second player in baseball history to hit a go-ahead grand slam with his team trailing by 3 runs in a postseason game. He joins Ken Boyer, who did it in Game 4 of the World Series in 1964. Boyer played for the Cardinals. In that series, the home run came against the New York Yankees. So the Yankees were on the bad side of that one. But on this time, they were on the good end. And looking at the Yankees' postseason Grand Slams list, it's a pretty solid list. Tony Lazzari in 36, McDougald in 51, Mantle in 53, Berra 56, Scourin did it in 56 as well. Richardson in 60, Pepitone in 64, and then the ones that I remember so vividly, Paul O'Neill in 97 ALDS Game 3. We mentioned Tino in the World Series, Ricky Ledeay in the 1999 ALCS Game 4, Robbie Cano, don't you know, in the ALDS in 2011, and then Didi against the Twins in 2019. So the Yankees go up 5-4. The momentum shifts their way, but the momentum would not last for long. Bottom half of the fifth inning, Chad Green musters up the lead. Jose Ramirez hit the double, tying the ball game. So we're going into the sixth. Now, mind you, we're 2 rain delays in. This game is very long. Seems like it's going to take all night. And we're tied in the sixth inning. But Gary Sanchez had other plans against Tristan McKenzie, the young, very talented right-hander from the Indians. Gary pokes one out to right field. Just barely gets out, but it does the job. Yankees take an 8-6 lead, and now you're saying to yourself, this is the lead they have to hold. This is it. This is where we need to buckle down. And we're going to get more into the pitching side of things in just a moment. We're going to break down even more, but I want to give you a little bit of a recap of what went down. Bottom half of the seventh, the Indians bounce back and answer back. Now, we're going to talk about some questionable Aaron Boone decisions in this game, but we're going to look at this one right now in depth. Zach Britton, arguably the Yankees' best reliever on the mound, walks 2 guys in a row. Now, with Josh Naylor, who's been the team's hottest hitter, on deck, Sandy Alomar Jr., who's coaching the Indians due to Terry Francona being out, we wish him well, we hope he's doing okay, pinch hits Jordan Luplow for Naylor, the right-hander going against Britton, the lefty. Now, instead of leaving Britton in to get the final out, Aaron Boone takes him out and goes to Jonathan Loaisiga. So you have the righty-on-righty matchup. Well, Luplow won the battle, doubled in 2 runs, and we have a tie game once again. The Indians would retake the lead in the bottom half of the 8th. Once again, he leaves Loaisiga in, and Loaisiga struggles. And once he goes to Chapman, who, again, we'll talk about some more questionable decisions, Chapman throws 1 pitch and gives up the lead on a Cesar Hernandez single. So the Yankees go into the top half of the 9th, down a run, and really, their season on the line, because the way that the pitching was used, and we're going to get into that more, the Yankees would have definitely been at a disadvantage going into a potential Game 3. But let's get back into it. And again, one of the things we have to mention in that bottom half of the 8th inning, it could have been a much more damaging inning if it wasn't for a beautiful double play turn by Gio Urshela. The guy was just phenomenal all night, the best player on the field for either team, and he really saved the Yankees, and it paid off. Gary Sanchez comes up clutch, ties the game with a sack fly. Tauchman scores on that. He pinch ran for Stanton. And then just one batter after Gary Sanchez, the man, DJ LeMahieu, who comes up clutch and gives the Yankees a 10-9 lead on a dribbler up the middle. Luis Soho type of dribbler. And the Yankees go into the bottom half of the 9th holding the lead. Chapman's able to shut the door. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. And the Yankees win the series and move on to Tampa Bay in San Diego. Now, questionable decisions throughout the ball game. Aaron Boone, a lot of heat, man. A lot of heat for him. Now, instead of pinch running Voit right away in the 7th inning, I believe it was, he waited a couple of pitches into the at-bat and then put Tyler Wade into pinch run. So not only are you taking out your best hitter all year, or arguably your best hitter all year, but you're basically saying, you know, my bullpen's going to hold the lead, and we're going to go from there. However, it didn't end up that way. The Yankees had a mix and match. The spot actually came up in the order again. Clint Frazier pinch hit for Wade with runners on. Could have gave him the lead, but Frazier couldn't come through. And you know what? It's a cold at-bat. It's a tough at-bat. A really brutal at-bat from Frazier. So the Yankees had a mix and match once again. You saw Ford come in. LeMahieu shifted from second to first to second. So that was one of the decisions that I necessarily did not agree with. One of the other things that I think is very underrated, and I guess that he kept him in because he hit the home run, and it ended up paying off because he had the sack fly in the ninth. But I would have put in Higashioka to catch Chapman in the ninth. There was a pass ball on the drop third strike, and the runner got on base, and it could have got really ugly. I probably would have went to Higashioka to shore up my defensive woes, but, you know, it was very scary watching Gary that last inning. And then you look at the pitching. Tanaka didn't have it, obviously. The rain delay definitely didn't help him. But the Yankees' bullpen really didn't do the job. They really didn't do as great as they're made out to be. Green went an inning in the third. You know, he bent, but he didn't break. He didn't allow any earned runs. He did allow some of Tanaka's inherited runs to score. And then Britton was a little wild. He let up two runs of his own. I thought that they should have kept him in. I think that the long layoff for Britton, he didn't pitch since September 25th. I think the layoff hurt him. But in the situation with Naylor, once Naylor was pinch hit for, I would have kept Britton in. There's no rhyme or reason to take out your best reliever in that situation, in a high leverage situation. Give him a chance to get out of the inning. And then you could proceed to go to Jonathan Loaisiga in a clean inning. That's the other thing I felt. Loaisiga was left in a little too long. If Chapman was an answer or an option for the eighth inning, why not give him a clean inning and tell him, look, get us two innings of work, and we're going to go from here. Not only does that save Loaisiga for a potential extra inning situation, but you're using your best guys. And the way that the series went, the way that the bullpen went, say the Yankees lose that game last night, right? Chad Green threw 32 pitches. Britton threw 24 pitches. Chapman threw 24 pitches. They all threw more than an inning of work. What kind of bounce back are you going to get on a back-to-back with those guys? Especially with a guy like Jay Happ on the mound, like I mentioned earlier. You don't know what you're going to get from Happ. What if he gives you a clunker and you got to go to Montgomery or Garcia in the middle innings of the game just to get to those guys? It was a situation. I'm sitting watching the game last night, and I don't know about you guys, but I was panicked throughout because I'm thinking, in a game three, they have the upper edge with Plesac on the mound as opposed to Jay Happ. And I'm like, you know, we're overtaxing the bullpen here. There's a couple of things that I don't agree with necessarily. This is getting a little scary. But overall, it ended up working out, and the Yankees won the ballgame. And before the series, Mark Teixeira predicted that the Indians would win it, and he cited the Indians' right-handed pitching and the Yankees' offensive inconsistencies would really hurt them. But the Yankees' offense was great, and the Indians' starting pitching really wasn't. So you have to look at that, and you have to just be really happy with the way the Yankees performed. Now let's look deeper into the offensive numbers for the Bronx Bombers in this game. They scored 10 runs on 8 hits. No, I didn't stutter. 10 runs on 8 hits. They walked 12 times in the ballgame. 12. That's not me exaggerating. That's not me, you know, going crazy. They walked 12 times in a ballgame. They left 11 guys on base, hit 3 for 13 with runners in scoring position, but overall, they had enough to get the job done. Let's look at some of the main performances. Urshela is the guy you have to point out. 2 hits, had the big grand slam, scored 2 runs, 4 RBIs. He's been phenomenal offensively, defensively. He is a guy that has really found a home in New York. And, you know, watching him, I'm just amazed at how he is defensively. He saved a lot of runs and continuously saves a lot of runs for the starting pitching. The guy deserves a gold glove. He deserves a lot, the most credit in the world because of how good he truly has been. He's been mightily, and I mean mightily, impressive. Some guys who stood out, You know, Judge didn't have a hit in this ball game, but he did walk twice. LeMahieu was 0-for going into that ninth inning when he had the big dribbler up the middle. Voit had a hit. Nobody really did well productively in terms of hits, except for Urshela. A lot of guys with a couple of hits here and there. Sanchez and Stanton both homered, like we mentioned. You know, if one or both of those guys could get going, that's a huge, I mean, huge sign for the Yankees. But overall, like I said, it was ugly. It wasn't a pretty game. You know, a lot of flaws showed from this ball game. The Yankees relief pitching misses Tommy Canley. They necessarily are thin in terms of their bullpen depth. Something we think of as a strength has not been a strength for this team recently. And you have to give credit that they didn't, you know, give up. After going down 4-0 and the continuous punches back and forth, this team definitely could have caved in and it could have been an ugly situation, but they didn't. They showed the fight and they get out of Cleveland alive. And by alive, I mean, you know, you move on. You do what you were supposed to do. You go on the road. They haven't necessarily been good on the road this year, but they did enough to get two wins against what I think is a good Cleveland team. Offensively, they might not be sharp, but in terms of starting pitching, Shane Bieber's fantastic. He's a great young arm. I'm sure this hiccup is something that he'll definitely fix. We'll see a lot more of Bieber in the future. And then Carlos Carrasco, you know, he's a guy that's very hard to root against with his story, with the illness that he dealt with. It's good to see him on a mound. Obviously, the rain delay didn't help him either, but, you know, he's still a competitor. And going in, the Indians knew once he gets to the third time around, it's time to take him out of the ballgame. He's not one of those guys you're going to rely on for more than 5 or 6 innings at a clip, considering the fact that opponent's batting average does go sky high when they do face him for a third time. You know, this Indians team might look a little different. It's at the end of Francisco Lindor in Cleveland. He's got 1 year left on his contract, but do they trade him trying to get the most for him at this rate? You know, they might not be able to sign him, but they might be able to trade him and get some really good value for him, a great shortstop. Didn't really have a great year in 2020, a very hard year to get going, but Lindor is still a top-flight shortstop. The demand for him will definitely be high this offseason. And looking ahead, you know, the Indians have or are in a good spot in terms of pitching. It's a matter of adding outfield depth and trying to add some more offense to the mix. That's going to be the main thing for them. You know, we probably haven't seen the last or heard the last of them. They'll figure out a way to continue rebuilding and regrouping and whatnot. But you have to be impressed with their pitching because they have a lot of young arms that I think in the future are going to be really good. McKenzie, I mentioned earlier. We didn't get to see Plesac, but Plesac's a guy that could be an impact starter. We saw Bieber. We saw Carrasco. These are all guys that could be impactful for them down the stretch. So I don't think we've seen the last of them. It was definitely a great series, especially game 2, but tip the caps to them for all the adversity they've dealt with between the Clevinger, Plesac situation to then trading Clevinger and Terry Francona not being with the team. You got to give them credit for the year they were able to put together. And for them, unfortunately, the Yankees were the better team in the series. So, you know, it happens. There's a lot of times where you have a good team and you just get outplayed. And the Yankees outplayed them in game 1 and game 2. The luck went in the Yankees' favor. And, you know, that's baseball for you. Now for the Yankees, they move on to the Rays. 5-game series starts Monday. We're going to do a special episode for that over the weekend to get you geared up. Pitching matchups, more breakdowns of it. But initial thoughts for me. Number 1, I'm a little scared heading into that series, not going to lie. Here's why. The Yankees bullpen has shown to be vulnerable. That's something that I'm not necessarily crazy about. I'm very nervous about that. I don't want to see that happen. You know, you try to get confident for Britton because he's been lights out and Green and Chapman, but there's always that fear that they're not going to have it. And, you know, it didn't take long for those guys to muster up the leads. They came in, and I know they were in bad predicaments, most of them, but it's not an easy situation to go into as a reliever. But that none of them were able to shut the door and get the job done. And then Loaisiga, man, like, I don't know what was up with him. He just didn't have it. I think Boone left him in too long, like I said earlier. And then you have to laugh at Adam Ottavino in his jacket in the bullpen, not even getting a look. They're paying this guy, what, $10 million a year? And he didn't even get a look. He's definitely in the doghouse. Had a really bad regular season. He wasn't the Adam Ottavino from a year ago. But if this team wants to go deep in the postseason, they're going to need guys like Ottavino. And Lawise is going to step up because they miss Tommy Canley. I can't stress that enough. Tommy Canley was a glue to that bullpen. He helped determine the roles. You could say Canley in the sixth, Green in the seventh, Britton in the eighth, Chapman in the ninth. And you had confidence in that. Or you could change it up. You had Ottavino. You can go Canley later in the game. But losing a guy like that definitely hurts. So the bullpen depth is definitely thin right now at this moment. And you just hope the Yankees offense continues to stay hot and produce. They strike out too much. We obviously know that. Gardner had a big strikeout in the later part of the game. You can point out a bunch of strikeouts where you just wanted to get the ball in play. However, if they're able to hit the ball with runners in scoring position and obviously hit the long ball, this team has a lot of potential to do a lot of damage moving forward. Now, they're going to face a really good Rays team with really good pitching and really a lot of motivation because, let's face it, there's a lot of bad blood between the two teams. This should be a dogfight, and we're going to break it all down for you and more on our next episode, which will air this weekend. So we'll give you a special preview of the upcoming ALDS matchup between your New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays live from San Diego. Take a deep breath, people. I just took a deep breath into my mic because, that was stressful. I can't even lie. That was a stressful game, too. Game one, I was nervous at first, but once the Yankees started going offensively, once Glaber hit the home run, I was perfectly fine because I knew the lead was good. If they blew that lead, they didn't deserve to be there. So at that point, I was able to calm down. But in game two, seeing Tanaka struggle early, I was on edge from the first pitch of the game until the final pitch at 1:15 in the morning. It was a long night. Very long night. But it was worth it because the Yankees came out victorious and are moving on. So again, my name is Nick Delahanty. This is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We have a lot more live baseball to talk about, people. I'm excited for it. I hope that we can continue for a couple more weeks talking about the Yankees' upcoming series and hopefully a World Series title in 2020. Follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding all our shows. Go to our store. Support our merch. All proceeds go to helping support our brand, so please keep that in mind and go make a purchase, help us out, and be a public advertiser for us. We love having our shows advertised by you. And as always, our show is on Apple Podcasts and all podcasting platforms. Subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcast platform you listen to our show. As always, let's go Yankees. We live to see another day, and next week should be another intense, nerve-wracking, exciting, and hopefully successful series for the New York Yankees. Until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We got a lot more to talk about. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll talk to you really soon.